going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 28. And when we look at the Scripture, I kind of think of it as like the Great Commission Scripture. I'm sure people have, you know, kind of dubbed it that. It's really kind of the command of the church, why we're here, what we're called to do, and I love it. It just really kind of puts things into a wonderful perspective for the church. It's just as Jesus, and these are Jesus' parting words to his disciples. And he says here in Matthew 28:18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" That's good. These were the parting words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we see clearly here that the commission, the purpose of the church is outlined very clearly. You know, this is basically, I like to say, we are really just on a short-term mission trip down here. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we have a temporary citizenship, but you understand in heaven, you're not compartmentalized in heaven. The Bible says people from every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation. It's not a segregated situation. You're all together worshiping around the throne of God. You see, there's only one family in heaven and earth. You know, so when you're born again, you're born again into a family. And so, you're not going to be hyphenated when you're in heaven as far as your who you are. You're not an American Christian or a Chinese Christian or no. You're all brothers and sisters, part of one family, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I mean, you're going to be enjoying fellowship with people that you've never even got to meet on this earth. Unique, made in God's image, reminiscing about times down here, experiencing the ages to come together. I mean, you're very, 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 some of your best intimate friends you have not even, you haven't even met yet. I mean, it's a pretty amazing picture when you begin to see what heaven is going to be like. It's absolutely glorious. But, you know, what we're seeing here is that, you know, we're basically down here on that short-term mission trip. We all have that same goal, to get as many people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son before Jesus comes back. We want to be a part of that rescuing process of in the redemptive process of bringing people, reconciling people back to God. But as we see the commission, we see that Jesus finishes out his exhortation with a very powerful exhortation, additional exhortation of comfort. He goes on to say in that latter part of verse 20 again, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I want to take a look at that second last part of that 20th verse in a few different translations here. This is the Amplified. It says, "And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be." The message, I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. New Living, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus was very important, emphatic about letting us know that he is with us always. In other words, we're not just doing this on our own. You know, it's not like I'm here with my theology and I'm going to work. No, he is with you. He is with you. That is a very powerful, important truth. That was really the final part of his parting words there, that he is with us. He is absolutely with us. Why is that important? There's another passage in John, kind of similar. He said, "I won't leave you comfortless. I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you, and he will abide with you forever." Very important to realize that we are not alone. We are never alone. And just as I was preparing for this message, I would just kind of felt prompted to kind of look up a few. These are not, you know, these are just some basic definitions that I found out regarding loneliness, okay? Loneliness. What is loneliness? These are just, again, a few definitions. While common definitions of loneliness describe it as a state of solitude or being alone, Loneliness is actually a state of mind. Loneliness causes people to feel empty, alone, unwanted. People who are lonely often crave human contact, but their state of mind makes it more difficult to form connections with other people. Loneliness, according to many experts, is not necessarily about being alone. Instead, it is the perception of being alone and isolated that matters most. For example, a college freshman might feel lonely despite being surrounded by roommates and other peers. A soldier beginning his military career might feel lonely after being deployed to a foreign country despite being constantly surrounded by other people. Okay, another definition here. Loneliness is a complex and usually unpleasant emotional response to isolation or a lack of companionship. Loneliness typically includes anxious feelings about a lack of connectedness or communality, I think that's the way you say it, with other beings, both in the present and extending into the future. As such, loneliness can be felt even when surrounded by other people. The causes of loneliness are varied and include social, mental, or emotional factors. Research has shown that loneliness is widely prevalent throughout society among people in marriages, relationships, families, and successful careers. Loneliness has also been described as social pain, a psychological mechanism meant to alert an individual of isolation and motivate him or her to seek social connections. Okay. These are just different forms, different definitions, trying to describe this thing that we call loneliness. And again, if you have lived any amount of time in one of these bodies in the human condition, saved or unsaved, when I read those things, you could say, we've all experienced that. You may be experiencing it right now. There's a lot of different things, a lot of different factors that cause us to feel lonely, to feel like we're the only one. And Jesus' final parting words again is, say, look, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am absolutely with you. And the reality is, in this human condition again, we still experience this thing called loneliness. And so this morning, the title of my message is simply, You Are Never Alone. And perhaps we could subtitle it, Understanding God in Times of Loneliness. Or Where Is God in Those Times of Loneliness? This is important. This is a very important part of your walk with God. Because I'm telling you what, if you're not lonely in your walk with God, you got it made. Loneliness. A lot of times, oh, my consecration, I'm doing things. Loneliness. There's a sense of being disconnected. It's one thing to feel disconnected with people. It's another thing to feel disconnected from God. That's a deep loneliness. And it's important to understand, again, too, what does the Bible say about loneliness? What does the Bible say about God as it relates to us? And so as we all go through life, as we're all experiencing different aspects of loneliness, I want us to be encouraged this morning in what the Word of God says, what the truth of God's Word says. You've noticed that we live in a world where you've got the enemy. He roars, and he is the father of lies. That means he's a barefaced liar, or I don't know what that is. He will lie in your face on volume 10. And you'll think if it's loud enough, it's got to be true. No, it doesn't. There are lies of the enemy, and then there's the truth of God's Word. We're gonna duke it out in the arena of loneliness this morning. And we're gonna get this thing brought into captivity to the obedience of the Word as it relates to loneliness. Because God wants to open our eyes and see some things as he sees them according to his Word. First of all, when we talk about loneliness, there are different aspects of loneliness, okay? I'm gonna bring out some aspects of God as it relates to loneliness and then kind of qualify him a little bit, okay? You are never alone. Number one, he is with you. Now, when I'm talking about the fact that God is with you, I'm talking about kind of a circumstantial loneliness, okay? There are different causes, again, for loneliness. Sometimes things happen that can make you feel lonely. Things that maybe you did, you know, whether you were the cause of the circumstances or whether you're part of the effect of the circumstances or both, You caused them and you got the effects. And, you know, it's important to realize that circumstantial loneliness that God is with you. Let's just take a look at a few scriptures and then we'll kind of further qualify what we mean here. The psalmist, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." I love that. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil simply because you are with me." We're saying God is with you. He is with you. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We're talking about the context of the valley of the shadow of death. He's right there. He doesn't go anywhere. Psalm 91, 14 through 15. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." He will be with you in trouble. You know, you could put it like this: God is not a fair weather friend. And that's kind of things you find out in life. You know, people who are your friends that'll go with you through the thick and the thin, the highs and the lows. He is with you in trouble. And it's not just enough that he's with you in trouble. You know, again, whether it's trouble you caused or whether it's trouble you're the result of, whatever it is, on whatever side of the equation, he's with you in trouble. And he'll deliver you from the trouble. Not only will he deliver you, but he'll deliver you and honor you. It goes on to say, "Then with long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation." But he's with us in trouble. Take a look at one more scripture here. 2 Corinthians. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Amplified in verse 4, "who comforts, consoles, and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may also be able to comfort, console, and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the comfort, consolation, and encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted, consoled, and encouraged by God." This is a wonderful passage of scripture that just talks about how God, in verse 4 again, he comforts us in all our tribulation. He is, and that's what Jesus said, the comforter will come. The Holy Spirit, He is able to comfort us in our tribulation. What are we looking at in these scriptures? Whether it's death, whether it's trouble, whether it's tribulation, he is with you. He is with you. You can know one thing, that he is with you in the circumstantial loneliness that you feel. One of the loneliest feelings in the world, now maybe none of you know about this, but I can just personally testify, is when you get pulled over by a police officer. And I'm not thinking about my fine. I'm thinking about who's driving by, you know? You know, like the dog with the cone of shame on there standing out in broad daylight, you know? And you're kind of out there, and it's like, oh, man, you know? But things happen. Situations happen. Again, sometimes you're the cause, sometimes the result, whatever it is. You know, that can be a lonely feeling, but you know God is right there with you. He is with you in trouble. You know, let God be true, every man a liar, though your father and mother forsake you. He's there. He's with you. He loves you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. What do we need to do? We need to believe. We need to believe that he is with us. He is with us. God is with us. Always, the song, kind of popular song, always, he's with us. He's with us in trouble. He's with us in the good times, the bad times. He is with us. Where can I go from your presence? He is with you. You know, and I remember being at Rhema, one of the teachers telling a story about a guy who kind of told off on himself about when he was backsliding one time, and he was, you know, just, you know, he'd lived for God and then he just went completely the other way, just rebelled against God, and he was in some